Amen. Again, that's 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Glory God. Thank God for each of you who are here on today. Amen. Praying for those who are not here on this morning. Amen. Amen. Don't know what happened, but amen. God knows all things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me and go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Amen. Does everyone have it?
Amen.
Amen. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to begin at verse 8.
All right.
Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us."
All right, man.
Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Drop down to the 32nd verse. Armor bearer, may I have some water, please? Verse 32 says, "David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.' Saul replied, 'You were not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' I want to use for a thought on this morning, choose a man. Choose a man. Thank you. One of the things about manhood is that it comes with many myths. Myths such as men don't cry. As they're growing up, boys often hear messages that girls never hear, such as suck it up, no pain, no gain. Are you a man or a mouse? Act like a man. The reality is that men are emotional, even if they're not in touch with their emotions. Emotions such as love, tenderness, gentleness, kindness, sensitivity, empathy, nurture, and compassion aren't always associated as male emotions.
Amen.
Yet these characteristics are attributed to Jesus in the four Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, a man, a real man, a loving man, a praying man, a kind man, experienced and expressed deep emotions. So parents would do well to help their little boys to identify and appropriately express their emotions, because having emotions is not a sign of weakness, Deacon Jackson.
Amen.
However, it is a sign of humanity.
Amen.
Men are told such things like making babies makes you a man.
Yeah.
But often they're not told the importance of hanging around to feed those babies. Men are told things like cooking and attending to your children is woman's work. So I guess if a woman works outside the home, the kids should just starve. Men are told, don't let your woman get out of place or keep your woman in check. But nobody ever told them to love your wife as Christ loved the church,
Amen.
Which is his bride.
Amen.
Therefore, Jesus never once abused his bride. And further, bruh, if you put your hands on the wrong woman, she's liable to lay some hands on you. And or you could catch a bullet. Amen. Men are told such things like, do what I say and not what I do. But no one ever told them you need to be a role model to your kids. For your little girls, you need to show them how a lady should be treated. For your little boys, you need to show them what true manhood really is. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Because see, if you don't tell them who they are and become their heroes, they're liable to have some fictional character on TV as their hero. Men are told things like a woman can't raise a man. So then if daddy's not there, then should a woman just let her son go to the streets and be raised by the dude on the block? Men are told that only women go through emotional changes during certain stages and phases of life. And I wish I understood how we have people who are even animal psychiatrists, and they study the minds of cats and dogs and monkeys even. But no one understood the mind of a man and understood the fact that men do go through life changes and various phases in life. People understand or think that peer pressure stops at adulthood. But peer pressure comes from peers. Amen?
Amen.
So that means that people that you grew up with, people that you went to school with, the people that you work with, and any people that you're connected with in your environment, which includes people at church and your family members. Maybe people who are impacting what you do and what you say. The one thing is that I know misery loves company.
Amen.
So then you too, my brother, could get hoodwinked by the pressures of some man who's telling you what you need to do in your house. And he ain't got a house.
Amen.
He ain't got a home.
Amen.
He ain't got a woman.
Amen.
But he'll tell you what you need to do with yours. The truth is that he secretly envies your life, and he doesn't care if your house falls apart. Amen. A man's value often is determined by what he makes and what his title is. They approach each other and ask, what do you do? And a woman will ask him, well, how much did you make? Because they grow up learning how to compete. And then what a man does for a living and how much he makes becomes a key benchmark on his value in this culture that we live in. Jesus. This puts a lot of pressure then on little boys who are trying to become men, because they place an unhealthy focus on the material things that they can see rather than on the spiritual things and having character, which is important. The reality is that this is an unhealthy focus, and it can hinder men from learning to hear God's voice. The scripture says that no man can serve two masters. That means that you can't serve God and money.
Amen.
Therefore, we have young boys who are willing to kill somebody to get a car, or kill somebody to rob them. Or they're out on the block selling drugs because they're trying to get rich quick. And then they use statements like, I got to do what I got to do. Because they don't recognize that it takes a bigger man to dig a ditch or work on the back of a garbage truck than it does for some little wimp to take a gun and go out and hurt somebody because he feels like he's got to have those material things. A real man's value is determined by his relationship with God. Boys need to be taught to look beyond that cultural yardstick of money and things and become motivated to place a primary focus on developing a relationship with God. If they read their Bibles, then they'd understand that if you just seek God first, all those things that you need or that you're concerned about will be added to you. And the Bible goes on to say that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll even give you the things that you want. The Bible calls them the desires of your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So therefore, you ain't got to go out and hit nobody in the head to get what you want. Amen?
Amen.
All you got to do is serve God and be obedient to him. And he'll give you the needs and the wants. Amen?
Amen?
Little boys have to understand who they really are. It's about them and God. Because if you have a relationship with God, you'll understand who God created you to be.
Amen.
And therefore, the streets ain't got a name, you Slick Willie. Based on some things that you've done. Because that's what the world does. Amen?
Amen.
They see something that you did and begin to call you by that. And then little boys don't know that they shouldn't even answer to that stuff. Amen?
Amen?
Because it becomes a part of your mindset and your psyche. So now you think you Slick Willie. Amen?
Amen?
But the truth is, they need to know Jesus.
Amen.
Lastly, men are told that a real man is big and brave and strong. Men are typically known by how big and how tough they are. Value is placed on a man's ability to win and to be brave and to be bigger and stronger than the next man. As with Goliath, the Philistine. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was a man of war. He was dishonoring God and he had a big mouth, a big ego. Amen? The truth is that true strength has very little to do with the physical. Physical strength has its place, but being a man has to do with so much more, such as developing a strong mental, spiritual, emotional, and then relational characteristics. This is what it means to be a real man. Amen? So today we're talking about David. David didn't meet the physical character traits described as manly. He had some character traits that many males and females alike, though, could learn from.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that in his lifetime, David didn't make any mistakes either. But what we find over time is that even when David messed up, when he made mistakes, when he was afraid, when he was on the run from folks that had turned on him, whatever went wrong in his life, he understood that God was the only one who could fix it.
Amen.
In fact, once David became an older man, he said in Psalm number 37, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He simply understood some things about God. Amen. In his humanity, yes, he messed up from time to time, but he understood some things about God. So now we're going to look back at 1 Samuel. David was short. He was young. He was handsome, he had smooth skin, and he was a shepherd boy. But he knew how to praise and how to worship God, even when nobody else was watching. The Bible says several times that he was out there praising God, even in a place where he danced out of his clothes while he was tending the sheep. So y'all know this wasn't about no show. Amen?
Amen.
He had such a history with God that he already experienced trouble. But he knew that even when he reflected on what happened with him with the lion and the bear, he understood that it was God who delivered him. God saw David through every little thing that he had gone through. So obviously, David was important to God. Amen? It was about It was not about David's history with God, but it was about God's history with David. It wasn't about God keeping a record of everything right or wrong that David did. But it was about David keeping a record about everything God had done. Mm-hmm. So today, for Father's Day, amen, with our topic, Choose a Man, we're going to look at some biblical references to what real manhood is truly about, according to David's example found in 1 Samuel 17. So I got 3 points for you, and I'm going to get out the way. We're going to talk about counting the cost. We're going to talk about choices. And we're going to talk about what are you chasing. Amen? So when we first look at counting the cost, as we all come of age, we're going to face some rough patches. It comes a time in life that we do have to make choices. Amen? And we can go with the crowd like David's older brothers, or we can go with God. On many occasions, it can appear initially that going with the crowd may be the easier thing to do. But honestly, the crowd can get you killed. Going with God may not always be popular, but doing the right thing is always the best route to take. Amen? So David wanted to do the right thing, and he had to make an assessment. Anytime you have a choice to make, you're going to have to count up the cost. Amen? As you're counting up the cost, you may have to make your choice based on the who, what, where, when, where, why, and how. Amen? And it may seem simple, but in a lot of cases, if you ask yourself these questions, the answers can be profound. Yes. If you look at the who, then you got to know that it's something or someone that's causing this problem. Amen. If you look at the what, it may be a threat, like with David, to your life, to your livelihood, to your Lord's reputation, or perhaps to your laughter or your joy. You may be in some situations where you think it's just normal to be walking around sad. That the devil is a lie. Amen. You got to know the what. If you look at the when, now or in the immediate future, you're going to have to make a decision. Sitting idly by, hoping and wishing that something will work out, is not what life is all about. Amen?
Amen.
You got to look at the where. Where is this point of attack? Whether it's a threat of your spirit, your soul, your body, or a threat to any or all of the above, it's still a threat. So if it's in your finances or in your health, whatever it is that's under attack, you need to know the truth about where it's coming from and then how to handle these things spiritually, as well as perhaps you may need to make some natural changes, whether it's in how you handle your money, whether it's in your diet, whether it's in whether or not you exercise, amen, mm-hmm, or whether or not you're walking in God's plan for your life. But you have to go to the root of the problem. Touching the surface is not going to get rid of the giants in your life. Amen? You got to ask yourself the why. Why am I going through this? Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you don't ever need to think that the real problem is your wife,
all right, come on now,
your kids, your boss. Amen?
Amen.
No, it may be the devil that's influencing your kids. It may be the devil that's influencing your mate. It may be the devil influencing your boss. And guess what? Sometimes the problem is you. It's not always everybody else. Amen?
Amen.
I know y'all ain't gonna shout today, but it's all right.
Yeah, come on.
Your next question should be the how. Well, how am I going to handle this? The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes you need to cast down them imaginations or that stuff that just come across your mind. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Counting the cost means that you need to be recognizing and agreeing to some terms up front. In following Christ, we can't simply follow our own inclinations. It's not about what we think. We can't follow him and the world's way at the same time, people of God. And following him may mean that you got to lose some relationships. You may have to lose some material things. You may have to change up your plan for your life. And in some cases, it may cause you to lose what you call a life. Amen? He said, if anybody comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, can't be my disciples. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that he wants you to hate people, but it means that you cannot put these people before God. And a lot of us make that mistake. And we love somebody so much that they become our God. And we quit focusing on him. And we're putting our focus on them. Jesus said, whoever doesn't bear his own cross and come after me can't be my disciple. He said, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Basically, you look foolish if you haven't sat down and count up the cost. Because you got a plan for the long term, not just for what you can see in your face. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that you need to deliberate whether he's able to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. This is Jesus talking. And if not, while the other is yet greater way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be Jesus' disciple. It's a simple word, but it's a hard word. Because nothing and nobody should come before God. Those who are following Jesus simply for what he can do ain't going to stick around when times get tough. And if you think about it, that's what a lot of the people did. When God's way conflicts with our way, we'll feel betrayed by this shallow thing that we call faith, or this selfish faith that we have, where we feel like, well, if God ain't doing what I want him to do right now, I ain't going to church. Amen? Amen. God didn't do what I asked him to do, so I ain't fooling with these people no more. Amen? Amen. That's our selfish mindset. Amen. If we haven't counted the cost of being his child, we'll turn away with the threat of sacrifice and find something else to gratify our selfish desires. Yes. That's why we get mad. And every time something happens, we won't come to church. Mm-hmm. That's the real truth. Amen. When we truly want to please God, it's not even about the folks. Amen. Amen. When we truly want to please God, it's not about the fashion show. Amen. When we truly want to please God, it's not a matter of who else is doing whatever, but we're here to serve God. Because see, people may flip script on you at any moment. Amen. That's why most pastors and preachers have to know, even if folks don't say amen and just looking at you sideways, you still got to press forward. Because it ain't about the people. Amen? Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying or doing. We have to obey God for ourselves. Right. Glory to God. In Jesus' earthly ministry, there came a time when he wasn't just handing out free food. See, a lot of people came for the free fish. A lot of people showed up for the fish fry. And when he wasn't doing that, the folks turned ugly. They were right with him while he was laying hands and raising the dead and performing all kinds of miracles and giving out fish. But some of them same folks in his crowd turned on him when he said some things or did some things that they didn't like. Usually it's when he was telling them the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus ended his description of the cost of discipleship with this statement. Any of you who doesn't renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple, found in Luke 14 and 33. So renouncing means that you're going to have to give up some stuff. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to have to give up some stuff emotionally. Flying off the handle all the time when folks upset you, it's not going to get you. You're going to have to give up those ways, that flesh. Your mindset, amen?
Amen,
and take on the mind of Christ. You got to decide if your attitude has you or you have the attitude.
Right.
Right.
You got to decide which one is in charge. Amen. Right. Even with our job situations, you have to decide if you have a job, Deacon Jackson, or the job got you.
Amen.
If you up rolling over at night, can't sleep because of something that happened at work, you ain't got a job. The job has you.
Amen.
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 You have to decide whether you have high blood pressure or high blood pressure has you.
All right, now.
You have to decide if you have a weight problem or the weight has you. You have to decide if you got a boo or if it's just another reason for you to roll over in the bed and be texting on Sunday morning and not come to church.
Amen.
Because maybe boo got you.
Amen.
And you ain't got the boo.
Amen.
If there is anything or anybody that hinders you from serving God wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. you don't have it. It has you.
Amen.
So you better count up the cost.
All right, yes.
Now let's talk about choices. Manhood requires mental, physical, financial, and emotional stability.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you have to make a sound choice regarding any of all of these or all of these at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable
mm-hmm.
in all his ways. And often, instability simply comes from confusion about how to handle these situations. But confusion is not of God. See, it's sent by Satan. So it's imperative that you choose your master. When David chose his master, he was also making a choice about his weapon of choice at the same time. David had to make a choice of walking out in Saul's armor and in Saul's anointing, or if he was going to be who God called him to be. And not go out there trying to act like somebody else. People of God.
That's right.
Do you know who God has called you to be? You have to make up your mind to use your gifts, your talents, and your armor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be somebody you're not.
Amen.
And function well.
Amen.
See, sometimes we hang out with the worldly folks. And we try to use the world's weapons. Their words.
Mm-hmm.
Their work ethics. Or even their methods of being parents.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten so bold that we don't even respect God's house.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your master?
Mm-hmm.
When you know who your master is, then you'll know that he's already equipped you for this journey that he's placed you on.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it in or of yourself.
Amen.
It's not about you, but God wants to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There comes a time in everybody's life that you have to do like Joshua and choose you this day whom you'll serve.
Amen.
It's a whole lot of things to talk about in this choice that Joshua had to make as he stood before the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
There was the truth of choice, the terror of the wrong choice, and we could talk about the person of choosing
mm-hmm.
or who chooses you, the period to choose. Which was this day, because
mm-hmm.
tomorrow's not promised to you.
That's right.
And then the pattern of choices, because basically it's simple. You can choose life or you can choose death.
There it is.
You can choose blessings or you can choose cursings.
Right.
Notice some things about this verse in Joshua 24 and 15. The right of choice, Joshua said. He said, choose you. The choice is up to you. God is not going to coerce you. He ain't going to beg you. He ain't going to plead with you about serving him. It's simply up to you. And you can accept him or you can reject him. Of course, Satan would have men to serve him of coercion. But God gives you the choice. He's a gentleman. He ain't going to make you do nothing. There's the responsibility of choice. With the right to choose comes the responsibility to choose. Choose you this day. If you make the wrong decisions, it's not the responsibility of your mama, your daddy, the preacher, the church folks, your neighbors, your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility to make a choice. And in the end, you'll give an account for what choices you made. So if you made bad choices, you're going to give account. If you made good choices, God will reward you. It's simple. It's not even complicated.
Yep.
There's the record of choice. And it's always been life or death, blessings or cursing.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Adam and Eve, They chose death in Genesis 3. When you look at Ananias and Sapphira, they chose death in Acts 5. Nobody forced anybody to do anything. Amen. The rich man in Luke 16, he chose death. But people like Lazarus, he chose life. Abraham chose life. Paul chose life. Peter chose life. Philip told Nathanael they had found him, and if he doubted, to come and see. Nathanael could have chosen life or death, but he chose life. I'm asking you today, which way will you choose? There's a record of the repercussions of the choices that other folks have made. But which will you choose? And when will you choose? Are you just going to keep sitting back, hoping and wishing something's going to happen? The scripture says you need to choose today, this day. The fact is that tomorrow just ain't promised. Folks are dying every day, rich and poor, old and young. But it's up to you to choose to do with your life. But I want you to know that without Jesus, you don't even have a real life. Amen. Because he said, I come that they may have life and that more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So now let me ask this question. What are you chasing? Oftentimes we don't chase after anything. Mm-hmm. And we just sit by idly watching everybody else live life. Mm-hmm. Wishing, hoping, hating. And usually it's because of your secret fear or your failure of unspoken intimidation. The other thing we do is get in front of other folks and act like we are Mr. and Mrs. Suchy-much. Mm-hmm. We get in front of them and act like we got it going on. Yeah. We get in front of them and truthfully, we live in a lie. My grandma used to say, I ain't hitting on nothing. You don't have it going on. You're pretending to be happy and the truth is you're miserable. Mm-hmm. You're pretending. You're a pretender. You're a phony. David was coming down to the battlefield to bring food for his brothers and to come back with a report for their father. Mm-hmm. And when he got down there, the brothers were acting like they had it going on. Mm-hmm. But for 40 days, this giant had been tormenting them. 40 days. But y'all got it going on. But Goliath been talking bad about you, your mama, your daddy, and your Lord. For 40 days. But y'all got it going on. They were pretenders. This devil had been tormenting the people of God and they were scared for their lives. But see, what they were chasing was a reputation. And a lot of times we do that because our ego is way too big. And their ego was going to get them killed. Because that's what ego does for you. It'll mess around and get you in trouble. And here they are hiding from this giant. And their little brother come along and they trying to live a lie. Jesus. Amen. But that's what happens when folks are chasing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Even if you're in one of the ships, kinships, friendships, relationships, any other ships. Mm-hmm. If you're with this person or dealing with these folks for the wrong reason, it can mess around just like David's brothers. Mm-hmm. And possibly get you killed. Mm-hmm. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, and yes, spiritually, your ego will mess around and get you killed. So many otherwise good brothers have become intrigued with chasing the wrong things. Many are chasing hips, lips, and fingertips. And you can't recognize what's good for you.
Amen.
Glory God.
Amen.
Many brothers only see what looks good to you. But when you're honest with yourself, if all that person has to offer you is a few minutes of pleasure or they just look good on your arm, I'm going to tell you they were not sent by God. It's a trick of the devil. And guess what? They're going to cause you to be distracted and take your eyes off God. That's what happened with Samson and Delilah. Amen?
Amen.
Samson stayed too long and he played too long. He was attracted to Delilah and she knew it. And see, a lot of folks think they players, but trust me, it's somebody that will beat you playing your own game. And just like Samson, it can get you messed up.
That's right.
You may mess around and meet your match. He played this game with this woman, and he messed around and told his secrets. And it cost him in the end because this woman meant him no good.
No.
Be careful who knows your secrets. Because when they get mad at you, oh, they gonna tell your enemy. Delilah the whole time was working for the enemy. And some of y'all have gotten with some folks who are working for the enemy. We already know Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And some folks right today, some folks in this room are still paying to this day because you got caught slipping and tipping with somebody who meant you no good. And I know in your mind you're thinking, but they said they love me. How they gonna tell on me when we did dirt together? You know, the memory is a funny thing. When the chips are down, it was you all the time and it was never them. They just got dragged along. They were a victim. And they'll be somewhere telling somebody your secrets. They playing let's make a deal. And now you finna be the victim because you told your secrets. And let me be clear, there's nothing wrong with physical attraction. But sisters, you got to come to the table with more than your good looks and your skills. I know you can't believe I said that out loud. But it's a sin and a shame how many brothers start out good. And it's a sister somewhere that drew them away from the church, from God, from their calling, from their wives. And I know that I'm right. Because that's what Satan comes to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. So they were used by the devil to get you off track and get your eyes off God. You got okey-doked. But brothers, you got to look beyond what you can see with your eyes. Because when you truly hear from God and obeying God and chasing after God, he's not going to let you get gap with Delilah. When you learn better, you just got to do better. Amen?
Amen?
You have to choose your destiny partner based on what God has called you to do. Your focus has to be on pleasing God and not pleasing your flesh. This includes the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If she can satisfy your ego, but she don't know how to pray you through a crisis, her name just might be Delilah. If she smell good, look good, and always say what you want to hear, but can't never tell you anything that you don't want to hear, can't give you a scripture to keep you encouraged and keep your head lifted up, her name just might be Delilah. If she motivates you to do things that you're not even supposed to be doing, but she can't motivate you to get a job and keep it, her name just might be Delilah. If she's always on your side, even when you're wrong, and she won't tell you, I don't think you need to curse at your boss. You know you need that good job and we need this insurance. Her name just may be Delilah.
My God, my God.
If she don't encourage you to go after your dreams and then still tell you, don't quit your day job just yet, but I really do think you can do it. You can make it. You got this. Her name just may be Delilah. If she's constantly taking from you and never giving, her name just might be Delilah. If she acts like Job's wife and tells you to turn on God, you ain't got to go to church, just turn your back. Forget them people. Her name just might be Delilah. She ought to be telling you, baby, you got this. Baby, you got it going on. Baby, you can do it. Baby, you the man. Boy, you know you looking good. You smelling good over there too, Deacon Jackson. Baby, you take great care of us. Or, baby, I'm not worried about Goliath because he's just a bully. And you hearing from God. So I trust God that you ain't going to let Goliath come in here and bully us, torment us, intimidate us, or persecute us, because that's what bullies do. She got to be having your back and saying, oh, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You got this. Baby, I know you're praying for us. And I ain't worried about nothing out there. Baby, you never have to pretend to be somebody that you're not. You're the one I love and respect. That's what a sister that's got your back and is really focused on God would be saying. The Bible says in Acts 10, if you fear God, that makes you a good man. You're a giver and you pray consistently. That makes you a good man. That's what a good man is. Then you don't have to walk around beating on your chest and talking loud like Goliath. Because you got God on your side. You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm getting ready to close. I know y'all ready to go eat. But see, when God is on your side, when you got God with you, as David did, Then you begin to understand that it's imperative to count up the cost, to make good choices, and to chase after God.
Amen.
And not those other things. If you're going to choose a man, which is what Goliath told them to do. I know a man. He's a real man. He's a loving man, a kind man, a just man, and a forgiving man. His name is Jesus. Jesus was that kind of man. And he not only knew the meaning of real love, but he was the epitome and the very essence of his character was love. The Bible says that he loved so much. He so loved the world, so he gave. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He was such a man that he was still kind and compassionate. And he didn't have to make a fuss when he showed up. By just showing up, the Bible said the demons tremble. Because he was a man, a real man. He was such a man that he could make decisions. And he made a decision to exchange his life for yours and mine. He died for us that we might be free. So not only was he loving, not only was he kind and compassionate, but he was also brave. So brave that he went down to hell, took the keys, got victory out of the grave, and he took the sting out of death just for you and me. Lastly, he was such a man that he was not only loving, kind, compassionate, and brave, but this man was also a faithful man. He had his eyes on the Father the whole time. No matter what he went through, he was constantly talking to the Father. No matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, no matter when people turned on him. He recognized his purpose, and he knew what he came for. And so one Friday evening, he proved that. He proved that when he hung and bled and died just for us. He turned around and told his disciples before his transfiguration, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of time. This is a man. This is a real man. A kind man. A compassionate man, and a perfect man. So when you choose a man, you have to know the definition of what a real man is. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. The doors of the church.
Praise God, and thank you so much for joining. This is Pastor Amina Campbell Jackson from the charity Full Gospel Baptist Church, located at 1775 Booker Street in Jackson, Mississippi. Listen, God is continuing to not only bless this ministry, but he continues to connect us according to his will and his way to the right people at the right time. He's also blessed us to be able to open our church bookstore at the end of the month of June. Our bookstore will not only carry popular Christian book titles, but CDs, t-shirts, and other paraphernalia. During this time, we will also open our church library so that the people of God will continue to grow in the Word of God and the things of God. Since understanding comes by the books and we are to study to show ourselves approved, we want to make sure more reading material is available to God's people. So continue to check out our website at www.campbellministries.com. to see the available items from our store as well as from our ministry's library. Again, we're located at 1775 Booker Street in Jackson, Mississippi, where our goal is to love God and God's people so you can come as you are and let God elevate you to where he would have you to be. Don't just come, bring someone else with you. Until next time, thank you so much for joining and be blessed.